Hey, this is Kevin Sorbo here, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box. And really, do some thinking, seriously. This is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 38, damn my dyslexia, episode 38, and thank you once again to not only Kirby Crackle for giving us that great intro, but also to the fat man himself, Big Kev, for giving us an intro. How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm doing super well.
Excellent, Josh. And how about you, LT?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent. And in the desert moon swamp that is Louisiana, how are you doing there, Mikey?
I am excited to be podcasting tonight.
Four white guys podcasting. Has this ever happened before, ever in the history of mankind? Probably not.
Other times.
At least 37 other times. And tonight, I'm very happy to announce that we're talking about a character that's no one's favorite, but everyone kind of likes. Is that are we agreed on that, guys?
Yeah, sure. Basically stole my opening line.
Oh, really? Excellent. I'm glad we're thinking on the same page, because today we're talking about Simon, otherwise known as Wonder Man. And to give us a little bit of background on Wonder Man, who lost a bet, is Josh. Josh, give us a little background on our favorite punching bag of the Avengers.
Oh, dear sweet Wonder Man. Wonder Man actually debuted way back in the day, Avengers number 9 in 1964, and managed to die in his first appearance. Fortunately, 4 years later, somebody dug him out of a bin, and Tony Stark claimed that he had saved his brainwaves in hopes of recovering him since he was so powerful. And in his comatose state, they try to revive him, and mostly for the next, I don't know, 10 years or so, they basically have a couple of villains bring him back to fight the Avengers. They use his cold, lifeless, energy-filled body to fling against the Avengers. Ignominiously, for the most part. And during this time, Marvel's actually sort of in a little tit-for-tat, a little legal scuffle with DC, since Wonder Man and Wonder Woman were so close. But Marvel had also just released Power Man, and soon after, DC released Power Girl. So Marvel considered that those two a wipe, wasn't that worried that DC was going to bring any legal action against them, and so they started bringing Wonder Man back with a little more regularity in the late 70s, so he took a more active role in the Avengers. So Wonder Man, if you're unfamiliar, his powers have sort of fluctuated over the years, but primarily he's a strong guy, super strength and vulnerability, the super leaping. But there's been off and on times where either he had like a belt that allowed him to fly, powered by his own ionic energy. Sometimes he can fly by himself. And sometimes he can produce energy blasts, and sometimes he just punch real hard. He basically starts out as a brawler and finds in many of the fights he just gets outclassed, and so he ends up begging for and getting Captain America's help to learn how to fight. He's also one of the few heroes we see in the Marvel world using his stature basically for fame and fortune, as he tries to make his way through Hollywood as both an actor and a stuntman. And that is why he has been most recently brought to our attention, because in the background footage of Guardians of the Galaxy, on a poster, there's a movie theater that is having a Simon Williams movie thing.
And that's, marathon.
Marathon, thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And it's in the background posters, it's Nathan Fillion as Simon Williams.
Starring in the Tony Stark biop.
He, really?
Yes, one of the things, yeah.
Oh, my God. That is both brilliant. Now, of course, we all know that Simon Williams also becomes a Guardian of the Galaxy later on because he's one of those few villains who cannot die. So he is a Guardian of the Galaxy, so it's totally possible that he could be in the next movie also.
We're all hoping. At least I am hoping.
I'm hoping it's Nathan Fillion,
yes.
Anything else to say about his powers or his background there, Josh?
No, I think that about sums him up, really.
Well, then we're going to go into what some of us like and dislike about him and some of our favorite runs. Why don't you start us out there, Tommy?
Well, if I start with the dislikes, I would say pretty much I did not like the visuals of him in West Coast Avengers back in the late 80s, early 90s. I was not a fan of the whole bright red jacket and bright red pants look of the Wonder Man of the time.
Wait a second.
Much more of
LT, you have to recognize that who that is. You don't recognize who they based Wonder Man's costume on?
Yeah.
Jim Steranko. He's got the safari jacket. He's got the turtleneck. He's got the big glasses. And he's got the pompadour.
But, you know, Jim Steranko wouldn't be that
Our
brightly
Lord and
colored.
Savior.
Jim Steranko would be much more of a gray or black suit.
He has gray hair, just like Wonder Man does, but he dyes it black.
It
is George Perez doing an homage to Jim Steranko.
I don't think so, unless the coloring got mixed up. Because, like I said, I don't think Jim Steranko would.
I totally see it now, and as you all know, Jim Steranko is with me.
Jim Steranko is with you wherever you go now. Yes,
that's right.
I am looking.
Mind melded.
I am looking at a picture of Jim Steranko, and he has those sunglasses on. They are red lensed glasses.
The glasses I don't buy. It's the color of the suit that I don't buy. But so I was never a huge fan. I mean, of course, he was one of the heavy hitters of the Avengers West Coast. Him and Iron Man were kind of the powerhouses in that team. But I never really liked him as a character in that group. Like I said, visually, I didn't really care for him. My favorite Wonder Man story would probably be his origin story with Baron Zemo kind of bailing him out of jail and giving him his powers with his ionic rays and such, and then having Wonder Man, of course, redeem himself at the end of that story by saving the Avengers that he had just pummeled.
The hero's journey, it's very important. Mikey, your favorite run with our favorite punching bag?
See, I was confused. I thought when we were talking about Wonder Man, we were talking about the Wonder Man from Wonder Comics number 1, 1939, that Will Eisner created. So I'm totally lost now.
You might be lost. You might have to excuse yourself.
A little quick background. One of the accountants at DC Comics realized how much money DC Comics was making off of Superman, so he hired Will Eisner to make him a ripoff of Superman. So Will Eisner did. He only had one issue because they published the comic in the same building that DC Comics was published in. And DC Comics was like, hey, wait a second. No, we're going to sue you. They started a lawsuit, so he only had that one appearance. But I thought it was kind of funny because Will Eisner in court had to admit, yeah, he told me to rip off Superman.
Do you have an image of that? And is it out of copyright?
That's a good question. It was 1939, so it would be public domain by now because they've never published another issue. And I don't know if DC Comics would sue us for starting another Wonder Man comic. Marvel might, but we might be able to get away with it. That's true. However, my favorite Simon Williams, it would probably be the New Avengers Annual number one, Volume 2. Where Wonder Man starts the Revengers to go up against all the Avengers teams because he feels that the Avengers are causing way too much damage between the Scarlet Witch, Ultron, the Hulk, Civil War. They do more damage than they do good, and so he's trying to get them to see that. At the end of the episode is my favorite part, is when he tells the Avengers he was brought back to life by the Scarlet Witch, so he might not really exist. And I thought that was very telling of why he had turned over to pacifism, and he questions his entire existence because he might just be a figment that was created by the Scarlet Witch and not actually alive.
That is deep. That is way deeper than what my
favorite is. Identifying that you're not real, identifying that you're not real is probably one of the first ways of obtaining pacifism. Because who wants to beat on somebody that's not there?
My cat's breath smells like cat food.
Give you nothing for that.
Shut up. You're the only philosophy major here.
Wait, Josh is the only philosophy major here. He should be piping in with this. Don't you have a degree
in
philosophy,
Josh? That's why I told him to shut up.
Shut up, Josh.
Yeah.
You and your philosophy. I'm going to talk about my favorite run with Wonder Man, because it is in the Guardians of the Galaxy, and he doesn't call himself Wonder Man. No, no, no. With his snow white hair, Steranko, he calls himself Hollywood. And Hollywood joins, that's true, and he joins the Guardians of the Galaxy and aids in several times. From the still, and his headquarters, by the way, is the Avengers Mansion. Still standing, but kind of looking a little weird and creepy in the far, far, far future. So there's kind of like a weird Grey Gardens aspect to him. And my favorite part about the character is that he is made out of pure energy, correct?
Yeah,
ionic energy.
His body is imbued with ionic energy, so, and he can turn into just plain ionic energy. I've seen him do it.
I was going to say, he's been dissipated before.
He has been dissipated before, but he is probably one of those heroes that can't be killed. Energy can't be created, energy can't be destroyed. But he's also one of the few superheroes who has a real deep fear of dying. Talks about it quite often. One of the reasons he decides to become a stuntman is because he doesn't want to die at the hands of some stupid alien that he's never met before. I think that's kind of refreshing to actually have a superhero who is afraid of this mortal coil, especially one who probably can't shed this mortal coil.
Yeah, it reminds me of that.
Especially someone who's died so often.
What were we going to say there, Josh?
It reminds me of, remember the little guy from Shuriken who was indestructible and the strong woman just kept, like, throwing him off buildings and using him as a missile weapon? But yeah. He was afraid of everything? I love that character.
Wow, that is a crazy old comic book that we loved as kids. I couldn't even think of the publisher anymore. Do you guys, and Mikey, you're the expert in this. It was a black and white kind of comic.
It's kind of comic.
Kind of a comic book.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'd have to Google that stuff. But yeah, it reminds me of that where, you know, he's completely indestructible, but he's, you know, still out of the corner of his brain. He just can't get rid of the fact that, you know, anything might at one moment destroy him. So
yeah, what if this power doesn't work this time that I'm being thrown? All right, how about this time that I'm being thrown? Sooner or later, this power's not going to work. Yeah, it's another great character. Yeah, that's a great toss-away character that most people never heard of, like Dow Jones and so many other really great little characters. We should do a whole thing on those guys.
The Lost Comics of Our Youth.
The Lost Comics of Our Youth. That's a podcast. We're going to have to do
that. Yeah.
Josh, since you're feeling froggy, jump on in and tell us what your favorite run is with Simon Williams.
I actually liked when he had his own comic because a lot of it actually bent around the fact that he was trying to make it in Hollywood, right? So there was a lot of ridiculous social aspects to the comic. And there was also the time when he basically goes to Captain America and said, hey, when I go out and fight people, even though I'm stronger, I'm getting my ass kicked all over the place. I need a little help here. And the captain, you know, takes him aside, agrees to it, and then just to show him a little humility, basically says, all right, Wonder Man, throw your best punch. And Wonder Man's like, dude, you're a regular person. I'll kill you if I hit you. And Captain's like, yeah, you're not going to hit me. Just throw your damn punch. So Wonder Woman swings at him, and he just, you know, catches the punch, throws him over into the wall, and he's like, yeah, that was nice. You're pretty strong there, pal. And then they go into their, you know, the training montage with Wonder Man, you know, getting his butt kicked and thrown around by Captain America all the time.
Montage! Everyone you got loves... other stuff in a montage!
Everyone loves training montage!
You true. Get a little better every scene in a montage! Yeah.
Montage! Really should...
montage! Yeah, I actually remember that, and that was really, really cool, too. I like that one.
I think that's everyone's take. Did I miss anybody? I don't think so.
I think Mike fell asleep.
Mike, are you all right?
I'm just still thinking about how we're going to launch our own Wonder Man comic.
The wheels are turning? Okay.
We're going to call him Wonderman, and he's going to be a Jewish superhero.
He's going to be a Jewish one.
All right, let's just go to favorite condiments. There's my tangent.
Favorite condiments. I'm going with mayonnaise. I love mayonnaise. I learned to put mayonnaise on French fries in Germany, and I have not looked back. Love it.
I'm going to go with honey mustard.
For classic condiment, I would have to say relish. But for everyday, ranch dressing.
Ew.
Did you just go with the two grossest condiments to be a dick?
Well, I knew that relish would get you to react, Tom. But
relish
I like ranch dressing.
It has no place.
I'm just going to veer slightly to the left of Mike and say I like the spicier mustards rather than the sweeter mustards, but I'm on the mustard train.
I think we're all riding the mustard train a little bit, but I got to stick with my mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Mikey, do you got something at the front of the long box for us to share this week?
Yeah, I have a great series that's already been canceled. It is called Nighthawk.
Damn it, Mike.
I didn't cancel it. It wasn't my decision. I bought the comic.
Oh, that's right. You told me a little bit about this because it has one of my favorite storylines in it.
Right. So in this series by David Walker, who also does the new Luke Cage Power Man Iron Fist comic, he has reimagined Nighthawk as a cross between Batman and the Punisher. He is stalking the streets of Chicago and is extremely violent and lethal to the people that he meets, but he has a sense of justice, and there are a couple of storylines that are going on simultaneously. In one of the stories, a land developer is trying to start a race war with inside Chicago by arming white supremacist gangs and black gangs to get them to start killing each other, so he will be able to buy up the projects. Because he's going on a platform that the Chicago is too violent and they need to let him come in and redevelop. The second storyline is a serial killer who is named the Revelator, who is killing white people who have been mean to black people in some way or fashion. For example, one of the people he kills is a judge who was doing the whole kids for cash scam where he was purposely incarcerating children to get kickback money from the prison system that he was sending the children into.
Well, that sounds like a great series. How many issues did they get in?
I have up to issue 3. I think it's going to make it to 4 or 5 to finish the run. It also addresses police violence. So there's a lot of subplots going on. It did not sell well at all. It is averaging about 8,000 or 9,000 copies. So it's not a surprise that it got canceled. But interesting series.
That's about as many people as listen to us. So yeah, it's not great.
But we appreciate all our listeners.
Every single one of you out there, we love you.
Mike, is that the same Nighthawk that was in Squadron Supreme?
Yes.
Because in the Supreme Power series, he was a bit like a Batman character. He was a kind of a self-made vigilante who used a lot of tech to fight crime.
Yeah, so what happened is after the last Secret Wars, he's the only survivor from this alternate reality. And he's just trying to establish himself on the new Earth that has been created by Reed Richards and Molecule Man. But they don't go into all that. But that's why he's back on this planet, and it's totally different. He has a chatty female sidekick who's his tech person who talks to him throughout. But it's It's a very dark book, and that's probably why a lot of people didn't pick it up. But if you like dark, violent books, this is the book for you.
I like dark and violent. Tommy, speaking of dark and violent, what do you got in the back of the long box?
I have a series from a couple of years ago called The Bunker. It was put out by Oni Press. It's still going on, I believe, right now. And I read the first three issues, and I loved it. The artwork is not really my style, but the storyline is fantastic. It's about a group of young friends who are just about to kind of venture out into life on their own, and they're going to bury a time capsule to kind of commemorate their last kind of gathering together before they start kind of living an adult life. And where they go to bury it, they discover a bunker. And the bunker is filled with letters from their future selves to them, telling them about the awful future that they are going to create. One of the young group of friends becomes president. Another one is a leading scientist who tries to eliminate world hunger. And instead, he ends up creating a horrible virus that kills off most of the planet's population.
That is a way to solve world hunger.
It is. It's just not what he was going for.
I applaud him for thinking outside the long box.
So it's true, but it just wasn't his intention. Kind of like a lathe in heaven kind of thing going on.
So it's filled with these kind of messages of what to do and what not to do to prevent the horrible future of mass extinction from happening. And it's just really neat the different ways that they're kind of moving these characters. Like a lot of the story is told through flashback and also in these letters from the future, with very intimate things about the group that no one else would know. Kind of their deep, dark secrets are in these letters to themselves to prove that they really are the future selves talking to this group back in time. And it was just well written.
So they're trying to do good, but it always kind of goes the wrong way.
Right. They were all trying to do good except for, you know, the guy who kind of became president. He was a little... but anyway, they mostly are trying to do good, and things go horribly, horribly wrong for the world, and so they're trying to prevent that from happening. And this
sounds
kind of
a lot
bunker
like,
that they've created.
Sounds a lot like the Lathe of Heaven to me. Not a lot of Ursula K. Le Guin fans out there? Hello? No?
No.
All right.
No. But, right. Yeah, so I recommend it. I think it's a very well-written piece. And I'm looking forward to reading more of it.
For my social justice part, I'll talk about The Lathe of Heaven by Ursula K. Le Guin, a novel you all should have read in high school. You guys never read this?
What is it called again?
Lathe of Heaven?
Nope.
It's a terrific, terrific book. Every time this guy goes to sleep, he can change the world. So he goes to a psychologist, and he helps the psychologist programs him so that when he sleeps, he imagines a perfect world. Well, every time he tries to imagine this new perfect world, it comes about correct, but it comes about with horrible, horrible consequences. He wants the entire world to disarm. The entire world does disarm, and then they are attacked by a race of aliens, and because they have nothing to protect themselves, the aliens take over. And then he
I've seen that before.
Yeah. So it's a great book.
And the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Actually, yeah, they did do an homage to that in the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror. He also envisions a world where there's no world hunger, and a quarter of the population is instantly killed off by a virus, and there's plenty of food to go around after that. So, if anyone hasn't read The Lathe of Heaven, 1971 fiction novel, everyone should read that.
Well, in this series, The Bunker, the food is the problem. The food's been genetically altered, and it has mutated, and it's what kind of causes most of the problems. And really, the people that eat junk food are the ones that are pretty much still alive.
It would have been better if the food genetically altered and wound up killing us by like becoming like choking us on the way down. If you know the Arthur, you could like it just grabs out of the side, just like, all right, come on.
Yeah, I don't know how they would serialize that into a comic, Tom. It would be a one shot.
You tell it from the food's point of view, and you call it Lucha Food.
Would definitely watch that.
That would actually be Wonderman's first supervillain.
Yeah. Led by the evil El Cid.
No, we can't use El Cid. We'd love to, but we can't.
El Cid's on your copyright.
Well, good point. That's okay. Victor Danders has already gotten back to us saying we can use his.
Yay.
Excellent.
Everybody that doesn't know, we're talking about our new logo.
Yes, we're just coming up with a new logo. We would have had a big contest to have one of you guys design it, but you guys don't get back to us quick enough.
You guys are slow, and we love you. Thank you for listening, but you're slow.
Thank you for listening.
But we love you. Thank you for listening.
Love you.
We appreciate your apathy.
Hey, and we understand. You're on the subway. You're in the car. We're here for you. That's why we're here.
Sure.
You don't want to go home and do stuff for us. We're not making you. We're not going to be that podcast that says go out and do this for us. No, no. All you have to do to, you know, is send us an email to luckybastard.com and we'll send you a comic book. And what
it's
comic
Lucky
book
Bastard
are we going
to send? At outsidethelongbox.com, Tom.
I've never written it, so I don't know. What is that again, LT?
It is luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com.
One more time.
Send that an email. Send it an email.
Luckybastard@outsidethelongbox.com. Luckybastard is all one word.
I can't believe I got to do it like four times. That's great. All right. And what comic book are we giving away this month, Tommy?
We are giving away Dr. Atlantis.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. All right. Well, we're going to get into
our... A comic book for most people aged, I don't know, 9 and up, I would say. Because it does have some violence.
Some of us
and
love
it
violence.
Does have some socially awkward things to talk about, like slavery, but mostly it's a comic for most ages.
And before we get into plugs, Mikey, we got an interview to do this week, don't we?
Yes, we have two people. You want to go ahead and tell everybody who they are, seeing they're friends of yours?
They are friends of mine. We're doing our good friend Misfit and her husband, Greg Simpson. Greg Simpson is a movie producer and filmmaker, and he's made a terrific documentary about Misfit's journey from a fitness model and all-around good person to a street-level superhero in the real-life superhero movement. This movie just is playing in Atlanta this week, so you guys probably missed it if you're listening. And it's playing at a lot of film festivals around the United States right now. It's called The Adventures of Misfit, and I am in it. I have a small part. It's not really a part because it's a documentary, but she comes out to California with her film crew, and she watches me as we pick up in that one day 110 needles. So without further ado, here is Greg Simpson and Misfit. Hey, everybody. This is Tom Strange with Thinking Outside the Long Box. And today we're doing an interview with two of my favorite people from another lifetime of mine. We're talking to Greg Simpson and Denise, better known as Misfit. Misfit, Greg, how are you guys doing?
Hi.
I'm good.
Doing great. Good to be with you guys.
Great to have you guys with us. Now, I don't talk about it too much on the show or with my friends too much because it scares them, but we used to be real-life superheroes together, didn't we?
Yeah, used to be.
Well, I still am, but I keep it on the DL. And, Denise, you've never looked better. You're the best-looking superhero we got out there because you are a female bodybuilder and perhaps in some of the most strikingly good shape of anyone in the real-life superhero movement.
What? Thank you very much for saying that. I always appreciate the vote of confidence. To me, the best part of the real-life superhero community is that everybody's so different. you know, we're all so different, but we all have a sort of this common thought process and on some level way of life, and which is to try to make the world a little bit better place.
Yeah, some people have called us super altruists, better than superheroes, and I think that's actually a pretty good name for us sometimes. And you guys are just putting out a movie about your beginnings in the superhero movement. Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about what that movie's about?
Well, it's a documentary, and in the movie, Denise and I go around the country, and Denise interviews different superheroes. And as she was going around meeting these different people, over the course of it, you know, the idea is proposed once or twice that maybe she should become a superhero, especially given the fact that she already looks like one. She looks like, you know, Superman in a you know, badly disguised, you know. Give her a pair of glasses and, you know, you can still tell that she's a superhero.
I've seen her in a pair of glasses disguised as Superman. It's funny as hell.
I'm a total wannabe, honestly, is what I am.
So anyway, over the course of this, Denise, what was your experiences with the different people you met? We met Master Legend in Florida and Danger Man and Zeta Man in Portland and different characters all over the country, New York, San Diego, right. LA.
That's right. I went into it all kind of in a skeptical way. I mean, I was curious for sure. I don't know what came first, the bodybuilder or the superhero comic book character. When you look at comic book characters like I did growing up, I liked the way the comic book characters were built. They looked strong and athletic and powerful, and they looked like they could take care of business. And so, you know, I call myself a wannabe because I always wanted to look that way and feel that way. So I was curious about this group of people who were dressing up and going out into the streets that way. And I had a healthy sense of skepticism about the motivations. But with every superhero that I met, I was just more and more drawn into who these people were and, more importantly, what they were trying to do, what the point behind what they were doing was. And so they changed my life, really.
And to be fair, let's say that in some instances, a healthy dose of skepticism was in order. And it was the safest thing to do. There were situations that we didn't want to get ourselves in with some of the elements of the community. Old school, I'm sure you can attest to that.
Yeah, I was about to say, we met because you came out and talked to some of my friends and myself. My contribution has mostly been getting out and doing street level work. Picked up a hell of a lot of needles. I believe that we talked about picking up over 3,000 needles in San Francisco while I was a superhero. And I don't know if you guys remember when you first came out, but I kind of didn't want to meet you guys. Do you guys even remember that?
Well, you didn't want – you were press shy.
Yeah, I was not shy because, you know, Mike Manning and I, we used to be, wrestlers together, and we would be, you know, anything but shy on camera. But, you know, there were so many superheroes out there that all they wanted was press. Right. And I certainly didn't want to be them. And it took a while for me to figure out that you guys weren't them. You guys were doing it for a whole different reason and a good reason. But you want to talk a little bit about how some of them were more for the press?
Well, no, I just wanted to – we don't really focus on that so much in the movie or in our lives. You know, we kind of focus on the good things. But I did want to just give a sort of a more three-dimensional look to it, that even though Denise found people to inspire her, we also found people that that we didn't want to emulate or hang out with.
Right.
I'm not trying to call anybody out, but did anyone come right to mind?
Oh, yeah.
You have to call them out.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. And to be honest, I'll tell you there's some people that we didn't really even – because we had, you know, we chose who we decided to meet with right out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And some of these people had a presence online, and you could see or hear about some things they got involved in. So, you know, you heard about people pulling out, you know, tasers in the middle of nightclubs and things like that. And, you know, we didn't want to hang out with those kind of people.
Yeah.
My first, about people.
I didn't really see myself getting involved in any of the crime fighting aspects either, although I was really curious about whether or not crime fighting and was really going on. I had some trepidation about, you know, what kind of qualifications people might have and how they might pursue what they were doing. So we were treading, you know, I think lightly, and for good reason. And then, you know, there was some stuff that goes on online that I don't like to participate in. There was, you know, a lot of, I don't know, maybe.
There was some infighting going on online.
Gossip and infighting and all the kind of stuff that I never participate in general. It's just sort of a waste of time.
I agree with you that I avoid it like the plague. I think the only fight I ever got into was very early on about whether or not I should have a gun, because someone insisted, "Hey, we know where you are. You really should have a gun. It's very dangerous." And I might have overreacted to that. It was a good superhero, a guy I actually kind of respect, but I'm like, "You're insane. I'm not going to carry a gun with me because someone eventually is going to knock me out and take my gun, or eventually I'm going to have to shoot somebody."
Well, that's what I like about you, Thomas, is that you're very practical. You know, I mean, you live in the real world with a lot of this stuff. And that's why I like hanging out with you and going on missions with you.
Yeah.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And I did enjoy the trailer. I can't wait to see the whole movie. I haven't seen it yet. When do you think the general public might be able to see it?
Yes, we're going to be playing in Orlando. I don't have the dates for that on hand. And we're going to be playing in Berlin.
Yeah, you're part of a Berlin Film Festival along with some other film festivals, is that right?
Yeah, those are the two festivals we got coming up after Atlanta. It's going to be Orlando and Berlin.
And people can go check out the trailer for the movie at adventuresofmisfit.com. Now, Denise, you are a competitive bodybuilder, or you still are, right?
Yeah, well, I'm not competed. I haven't competed in many years. But yes, I was a competitive professional bodybuilder for many years.
Now, when you first started looking at all the superheroes in the comics, who was your favorite superhero?
Well, I gravitated to the female characters, and I grew up watching Wonder Woman. And so I loved her.
Right. Yeah. Ever,
did you dream of having muscles like Linda Carter?
I was going to ask that because she has noodle arms.
No, well, to be honest with you, I mean, this is tell you a little bit about when I was growing up. I loved the idea of Linda Carter. I thought she was beautiful and powerful, and I love what she represented. She was intelligent and all those things. But I also loved watching, and this was years later, The Bionic Woman. And, of course, this is not a comic book character per se, but you can see where I gravitated to anything that was, whether sci-fi or real life, that showcased women who were strong and powerful and who could save the day. And, you know, sadly, there aren't enough female characters to look to, but... You know, I was the only thing I ever collected my whole life was bodybuilding magazines that featured women bodybuilders. I've never been a collector of anything. And when I looked at women bodybuilders, I saw living representations of what would be a female superhero. And that's what I wanted to emulate.
You guys do a lot of work for charity. And did you do some fundraising for St. Jude this year or last year?
We did. We've been fundraising for St. Jude for 5 years now. This year's run took place in North Carolina. And we have an amazing team of people. Most of them from the real life superhero community. So, Yeah, we are. The Misfits for Life
team. So you're leaving out some of the good stuff. First of all, Thomas has run with us twice. He's inaugural member of our team. Mm-hmm. In fact, he likes to run through the mud wearing a fedora and a white shirt and a tie.
Yeah.
Which is his old his superhero look.
Yeah, it's my superhero look. I look a little bit more like the old Spirit character than anything else. And you also left out one of the biggest parts is we were the number one fundraiser a couple years back. And how much money has your team, and I'm proud to be a member of your team, but I want to call your team, how much has your team raised?
Well cumulatively, we've raised about $100,500 for
Saints. That is awesome.
And it's a team effort. It's my team. It's our team. I'm a proud Misfit for Life. And Thomas, of course, you are a total MF-er forever.
Thomas was an MF-er and a Misfit for Life before we even met him.
That's right. I can attest to it. As a kid, I always said Tom was an MF-er.
Well, it's very nice, Jay, and I am a proud MF-er, and I'm looking forward to doing it again this year, with the team or without the team. We can always do it MF splitting up a little bit if we can't all get together because we're all spread out again.
Yeah.
The last one we did together was in Tennessee. That was the national championships.
That's right.
Yeah, we came to you for that one.
That's right. That was a hell of a good run.
not to mention the barbecue.
Thank you. Yeah, the barbecue was pretty good.
That was fantastic, Thomas. That was the first time that we, took the team on the road. And, because you jumped in right away and supported that effort for the Misfits to go to that event. It was a huge success. And, of course, Thomas jumped in with both feet, as he always does. He was the first in, and he was the first one raising money for that Tennessee event, dressing up in all kinds of interesting costumes. Right, Thomas?
That's right. I pushed two smart cars dressed as Anna from Frozen when I hit my $1,000 mark.
You don't see that every day.
Yeah, I was actually giving a little a little homage to Denise, who's pushed a truck up a hill to raise money. So I'm like, all right, I'll push two smart cars down a slope, a sloping parking lot. And I thought that would help.
It was epic.
Were you wearing women's underwear while you were dressed like the Frozen character?
Of course. I'm a Disney princess, not a Disney whore. You got to wear underwear. You got to wear panties. That was the hardest part to find.
The thing about having a team or doing an effort like this one, and whether it's this or Hope or the needle pickups, which you did as a group,
here in Boston.
Wow, it's the personalities that people bring. It's the sort of spirit of generosity and love and caring. That people bring to something like that makes it just that much better. I mean, you're going out there and you're doing something good, but when you're with people who are bent on having a great time and doing it, it just makes it all so much easier.
I agree 100%. Being a superhero, just like sex, is better with you're with more than one person.
Yeah.
And the more the better.
Wait,
I didn't say that.
I'm actually looking into my superhero closet right now. I have about 500 needles stashed and waiting to be brought to the hospital. I'm averaging a little bit less than we did in San Francisco, but you go every week, you find plenty.
Wow, that's amazing.
We got to have you guys come up and do a walk with us in Boston. It'd be great.
I've never been to Boston. I'd love to do that.
Well, you're always welcome. And I'm going to let you go because I know both of you guys are on a time frame, and I promised I wouldn't take you out for more than like 10 or 15 minutes. So any last little words of wisdom for us, Denise and or Greg?
Denise, why don't you what was your favorite adventure as a superhero in the last few years? Can you think of one?
Oh, my God. That's so
Don't think of it as most favorite, but what was like one of your favorites?
Well, to be honest with you, watching people navigate an obstacle that they are intimidated by and watching people get past those obstacles with success is always incredibly rewarding for me. And so I always have those just pictures in my mind of watching somebody climb a wall that intimidated them or, you know, so those are the things that really inspire me.
I feel like we may have left this detail out. We talked about running for St. Jude, but I don't think we mentioned that it's in obstacle courses dressed as superheroes. So Warrior Dash, obstacle races, mud, barbed wire, fire, all of that.
You know, they took the fire out because someone fell.
When?
They said they were going to take it out this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone fell. So usually we used to have to jump over like about 2 feet high flaming log pile, and I've been told that they're taking that out of ours. I always like that, and it was always fun watching Denise go over it because yes, you are built like a superhero, but you're built like a superhero of not the tallest of stature.
Right. Right. I always worry about those flames.
Yeah, you got to get a little height on those.
Exactly. I got to really go for it where some people just step over it. It's just not fair. It's not fair. But the only other thing I guess I would point out for anybody who's listening or interested, I mean, everybody can do this. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be super fit and our next run is going to be in Southern California. Again, we're raising money for St. Jude. We want to continue that legacy, and it's going to be on April 8th, 2017. So if anybody's interested in becoming a misfit and hanging out with a bunch of great real-life superheroes, we'd love to have you.
So to contact us for that or to see what we're doing, you can go to the website, which is activeism.com. So it's ACTIVE-ism.com.
All right, and thank you for
Thomas,
that, guys.
Thomas, maybe your second favorite word that ends in ism.
It is absolutely my second favorite word that ends in ism. All right, guys, thanks again for joining us, and that'll do it for this interview. And once again, thanks a lot for all that you've done. You guys rule.
That was a great interview.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well done,
and you
it's
might
always
be
nice to hear about people doing good in the world.
Yeah, and you might be wondering why we don't talk about my time as a real-life superhero more on the thing. I'm not really actually embarrassed about it. I actually still do it here in Boston. I just think that real-life superheroes shouldn't talk about it. Now, Misfit is one of the very few real-life superheroes out there who talks about it in the right way. Most real-life superheroes who talk about being real-life superheroes are just in it for publicity or they're, you know, glory hounds, and I hate them. As a matter of fact, I hate many of the real-life superheroes that are out there. But Misfit does it just to raise money for St. Jude, and she's a total sweetheart. So she's one of the few that I've ever allowed to film me doing what I do.
I was going to say, everybody should go check out the adventuresofmisfit.com, where they have the trailer for the movie. You should really watch the trailer. You'll see our own Tom Strange. He is the guy wearing the fedora. And they'll also have a listing of where upcoming film festivals, where it's going to be at.
All right. So what do we got for plugs, guys?
Well, obviously, we want to thank Kirby Crackle for providing our geek rock music. We heard them on the intro, and then at the end of this episode, you're going to hear a little more Kirby Crackle. You should go check out their music at kirbycracklemusic.com or buy their music on iTunes or Bandcamp.
I agree wholeheartedly with that.
We should also unplug Omnicon. Omnicon, which was scheduled for the middle of October, has been postponed till sometime in the spring. I would also like to plug IanLino.com. IanLino.com.
All right, and I would like to plug our very own website. Well, not our website so much as our Twitter page. And that Twitter page is Outside the Long Box, at the Long Box, guys. There you can ask us all kinds of questions. post any trivia you got, see pictures of us dressed up as silly people at different cons, and just have a great time with us.
If you would like to go to our website, we do have one. It's outsidethelongbox.com. I am slowly getting the website built up, so all those people who were on our Con Man Season 2 Extras episodes, I will be having a link to all the those people soon as I get around to editing it. It's a lot of people we interviewed who had a lot of great things going on.
Excellent. How about you, Josh? You got anything for us?
Yeah, I'd like to plug Mark McKenna and his art. So just go to markmckennaart.com. He's kind enough to be designing our Kilowog t-shirt as we speak.
And I've seen the first couple of sketches. It looks great. One more guy to plug just because he's such a total great guy. Tony Isabella at The Tony Isabella over on Twitter. His tweets are usually pretty funny, and his blogs are very, very just full of facts, full of inspirational stuff, and full of very interesting stuff about what goes on behind the scenes of comic books and what it's like to be a writer. So please go over to Tony Isabella at The Tony Isabella.
And you can see a link to his website, his blog, on our website, outsidethelongbox.com, along with some of our other favorite bloggers like the NOLA Nerd Couple and what's Emily's name?
Femme Fatale.
Femme Fatale, that's right. Sorry, Emily.
It's very kind like that. I have something for her, too. I got one of the – I got a sticker of the Valkyrie from the I think this is from like the 70s. That says with just a picture of Valkyrie with the Woman's Lib logo. She wanted one. And I finally found one on. Come on, that's big news.
That's fantastic, Tom.
Good job, Tom.
All right. Well, thanks everybody once again for listening. My name is Tom Strange. Remember what I always say: don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. And Josh, I forget. You know, I was outside yesterday. I was looking at the numbers. Is this your sector?
This is most assuredly not my sector.
And Mike, what is Thinking Outside the Long Box do?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
I love you guys, and I'll see you next week.
Yeah, it's true, if you heard I died. Turns out I wasn't good at life, and now I'm haunting you. What else am I to do?